and go to June 7th, page 327. And the title of it is Strength and Peace. Mm. The scripture, Psalms 29:11, says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." Oh, my, his peace. That's what we need and want. Now we're going to start reading, okay? Page 327. When the individual Christian learns to place his faith in the finished work of Christ, he opens the door to every blessing that God desires to bestow. One of the first evidences that our faith is in the proper object comes as we experience the dominion of sin receding and victory over sin increasing. Through faith and grace, we can experience a true life of holiness and righteousness as God's Spirit supernaturally invalidates and eradicates sin's grip on our hearts and minds. Next page. Then the same principle that we have applied to the sin issue is to be applied to all other areas of life. If we begin to trust God to work for us in our relationships, our finances, and our employment situations, we will find ourselves receiving what is needed in each particular instance. As we trust Him for our marriages, our children, and those we care about, we will begin to grasp that He is both capable and willing to work on our behalf. All because of faith in Christ's finished work. He is a God who will give strength to his people through grace, and he will bring peace to the soul who learns to rely on him in all things. Mm. The leading of the Holy Ghost to trust him as he brings peace to our hearts and to our souls. My Lord, what a God we serve, huh? Amen. He can be trusted because of who he is, my Lord. Well, without further ado, I want to introduce or welcome Andrew Bhutan. Amen. As he speaks this morning. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I have to save. I think this was the first time I've preached after we've done communion with those open cups. And I was just scared that, you know, I was going to... You can ask Haley, how many things just end up in my beard? I didn't even try. Hey, have you ever tried to go get sushi with them little crunchies on top? It's just in there, you know? So it's tough, you know? Another thing, man, 30 now. You know, so, hold on. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Been informed I got gray hairs now. Yeah, so, it's. I was working on things yesterday, and I don't need the light. I was like, turn on that light. I got to read this. I'm like, how do you see through this without, oh, man, I'm only 30. I'm not even 60 like Dad, you know? It's like, he just got cheaters. These are prescription. You know what I'm saying? So it's actually kind of interesting wearing it with this little mic. So, you know, we're going to see what happens. You know, we are going to trust. You want to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel 23. We will start at verse 11. I give you time because I knew where I was going, so, you know. I would say something pretty familiar, at least to me. I've definitely preached on it before. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hittite. And the Philistines were gathered together. into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and killed the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, we invite your Holy Spirit here to move among us, to be with us, help and guide my words to be your words this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Today we live in a world where we have to take on many roles. You know, you go back 100 years ago, if you were a farmer, you were a farmer. If you were, you worked in a factory, you were a factory worker. But we see in our world today, we've had to adapt and become multiple things, to do multiple things. And we see here that there were three roles given to this man. Now, the scriptures don't really mention him all that much. I tried to look up everything that mentions this one guy, and it's maybe three or four scriptures at most. But he played a pivotal role. You know, the Lord saw a man who was a farmer and said, I'm going to write about his little story. Might be two verses, but I'm going to write about it. So let's remember this morning, if you're just the old Joe going to work, God's willing to write about you. He has something special for you. You know, we all work, we all do things, you know, whether you're retired or not, you still have to do things around your house and stuff. Don't think it's just humble. Don't think it's just your everyday work. God has a plan for you to do great and wonderful things in your heart and in your life. Every single Christian has been called to go out and preach the word. Now, not necessarily behind a pulpit, but when you're at the grocery store, when you're out at your job, when you go out into this world, we are to be light and salt. We are to shine light into darkness, and we are to preserve, that's what that salt is, to preserve what is left in this world. Without us, this world goes to hell in a handbasket pretty quick. That's why one day, whenever we're taken out of here and we go with Christ in the great resurrection, this world's going to go to hell really quick. God is holding back a tide of darkness because of your heart. Because you are standing. And you're like, but it's just me. But wait, hold on. Did not the Lord save Noah and his family because of Noah? Because of one man. It didn't say God found favor with his three sons and their wives and his wife. It says he found favor with Noah and his family was saved. You don't know what tide of darkness is being held back because you are there. You don't know. You don't know what you are holding back. You don't know what you are being salt and light to this morning. We see here, the Bible describes, I tried to look up on how to pronounce his name. Shammah is how they said it. In three roles. You might be saying, three roles. It mentions him in three verses. You mean it's mentioning him in three different things in three verses? Kind of. First and foremost, he was one of David's mighty men. Now, what made him mighty? Was it because the Lord saw something great and powerful in him? Maybe so, but that's not it. The Lord, you know, was he mighty because of his military prowess? It helped, but that wasn't it. He was mighty because he was where the blessing was. He was with David, the one God had anointed multiple times to be king. In our lives, we have to be where God wants us to be. If he wants you at a particular job, you need to be there. Because you're going to be what? Salt and light in that place. if he's called you to be a stay-at-home mom or something like that, or retired, you are to be there because that's where your blessing is. And in that, you're to be salt and light. If you've been called to do a particular ministry, you are to be there because you are the one who is going to be blessed in that ministry. Someone else could come and try, but they won't have a blessing behind them. Because only you in that area can be what? Salt and light. God works in mysterious ways. And we see he was there. He was a military man. He protected David. That's what the mighty men were. You know, whether we don't know exactly what his role was, but we know that he was there. And because he was there, he was blessed. Because he was where God wanted him to be, he was blessed. He was blessed. We don't know. We don't know financially or anything like this, but we know when you're in the will of God, you are blessed. And because he was in that role, doing, striving every day. That's just like us at work. Sometimes it feels monogamous. Sometimes it's like, for me, now I watch people work. I don't work anymore. I watch people work. You know, I stand. I'm like, you're doing a great job. You're also doing a fantastic, I get paid to do it. You're doing a great job, man. I'm like, great, man. Straighten out that palate a little bit. You're good. But he was where the blessing was. If he would have decided to not be a part of David's mighty men, but to go back and be a farmer, just a farmer, he wouldn't have been where the blessing was. Even though we're going to see in a little bit, the Lord blesses his farming. If he wasn't where God wanted him to be, he wouldn't have been salt and light in his area. God works, and he works through us, but only when we're in his perfect will. And sometimes it's easy to get out of his perfect will. Sometimes it's easy to walk astray and to do other things and be like, this sounds really nice. It's easy to do those things. But God will always bring you back. If you call upon him, he will show you where to go. He's pretty good at directing our paths. We see with the children of Israel as the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. If they were not under that cloud, what were they going to be? Sweaty, hot, scorched, and probably poached by people. But because they were under the cloud, they were blessed. You must stay under your cloud, under your pillar of fire. That's where the protection is. That's where your blessing is. That's where you can do the most for him in his will. You might see, you know, you see people who go out into the mission fields and, you know, praise God for them. It's not me. I'm not called to do that. I know that for a fact, at least for now. Who knows what the Lord wants later. But if I tried to do that, I wouldn't be blessed. That's me. You might be different. You have different things that you can do for the kingdom of God that I can't. I can't walk into Dad's mail, I don't know, room where y'all sort things, and we pay too much for stamps. I give him a hard time about the mail. I tell him, man, I send everything through FedEx and UPS. Oh, no, man. I say, I'm not paying for your retirement. No, that's bad. It's okay. I'm going to get no more eggs now. Cut it off, man. Oh. But I can't walk into that area and be salt and light. He can't walk into my job and be salt and light. I can't walk in your shoes and be salt and light. You can't walk in mine to be salt and light. But God has a plan for you. Be under that umbrella of blessing. Be under that umbrella and have him work through you. And you might say, man, but it feels hopeless. All these people are heathens. Well, if you share and you share God's word in his timing, I'm not saying they're all going to come to God, but they have no excuse after that. You might be the 1% standing between them and hell. You might be that. You might be the one when hard times come that can share what you've gone through. You might be the one that can be that shoulder to cry on. God has called you to do a miraculous work. Something I can't do, something that Dad can't do, but only you have been called to do it. And we see God would prepare this man for a trial to come. We see here he was a mighty man, but only because he was in the blessing. And now he's farming. Now, I don't know if he was a mighty man with David and also at the same time was a farmer, or these are two separate things. I kind of believe it was all at the same time. He was a farmer, which means he had to work the land for planting. Spiritually speaking, we have to make sure our hearts are being tilled and being prepared for the word that the Lord has for you. Our hearts we have to constantly move that dirt. What happens if you let dirt settle? It starts to pack down and get hard. We got to make sure that our hearts are always ready to be planted in by God. We have to make sure, we have to bring that till through. And you know what? It hurts sometimes. Especially when it hasn't passed in years and that dirt is nice and hard. We have to make sure that our hearts are prepared and ready. He had to work that land, getting it ready to plant his lentils. I looked up, lentils grow in the wintertime in that area specifically. Every day, I don't know, every day or a couple times a week or what it was, he had his field and he'd have to water it. If God didn't send rain and it was a drought, he'd have to water it himself. So he'd have to get buckets. Maybe he'd put it on an ox. Maybe he'd carry it himself. But he'd have to bring water and water that land so those lentils could grow. That's just like our spiritual life. We have to listen to what God is putting into our hearts. We have to be open. We have to make sure that ground stays tilled and is well fertilized so that whenever the word comes, it can germinate up. Just as when the seed was thrown on the stony ground, roots would take, but it wouldn't go deep. So when something would come, it would take it up and rip it out. When the land was hard, it wouldn't take up, and then it would get burned by the sun, and then the animals would take it. Or when it would be thrown in the thickets, and then it would be choked to death because it couldn't receive the proper sunlight, the other plants would choke it out. We have to make sure in our hearts and our lives we have none of those lands, but we have good ground for it to spring up in. We have to make sure that it stayed. We have to pull them weeds, and that sometimes, man, that's hard because it's grown there for a while. There's pickers. We're trying to get through it, and our arms are coming out all bloody. We all have it. We all have those places. It's different for each person, but it helps us grow. It helps what God wants to grow in us to germinate well. He would tend to the plants in the wintertime, making sure that everything grew properly. And he would battle. I looked up what kind of elements that would cause it not to grow. And in that time, they wouldn't have harsh winters, so they really didn't have to worry about snow all that much. But what they had to worry about was pests, because they would have mild winters. So we know about that. Mosquitoes don't die. But locusts and drought. So throughout this whole winter, he was having to till the ground, make sure it was watered, battle off pests as best as he could. I looked at, was there anything that they could do? They said, no, they had to pray about it. He had to pray. Being like, Lord, don't let the pests take over my field. Don't let the pests, don't let the drought come. Lord, send rain so I don't have to lift the buckets and bring it. And he would battle those pests, keeping them away as best as he could. And by all miracles, he would make it to springtime. The lentils, the peas would be grown and ready for harvest. I looked it up. They had to harvest quickly because, again, you didn't want pests to take it. You want to get it out of the ground and ready to be sold or used or whatever. He has battled this whole winter. And now there's another storm on the horizon. Someone is trying to come and steal what he has worked so hard for, what he has toiled away for, what he has done every good thing that he possibly could to get these plants to grow. Now someone is coming to steal from him. Does not Satan try to do the same for us? We've toiled away. We did everything we could. And now we're hearing the farm on the left has been stolen. The farm to the right has been stolen. Or you know that the year before they stole your crop completely. Satan tries to do the same for us. We go through trials and tribulations, not because it's easy, but because it helps us grow. Because we have to go through things so that we can grow stronger in him. So we can be a shoulder to cry on when someone else goes through something similar. God works through us to touch other people. And you see these things, and he has worked hard, and suddenly he sees the Philistines on the hill ready to steal what he's worked so hard for, what God has given him. Now, did you forget? God called him a mighty man. He prepared him for this time. For such a time as this, he prepared him to stand in that field and defend what God has given him. We must be strong men and women who are willing to stand in the field when no one else is willing to stand in the field. To stand for what God has given you. He's given you talents and abilities that I can't do, that Dad can't do. He's given you abilities, and don't let Satan steal what you have been given. Has he tried to steal your peace? Has he tried to steal your joy? Has he tried to steal your family? Has he tried to steal anything you hold valuable, the things God has given you? Has he tried to steal it from you? You have been called to be a mighty man or woman who will stand in the field no matter what. To battle on your knees. To fight the good fight that you know he has called you to do. To live a life that is pleasing to God throughout the storm. He has called you to be not just a farmer, but a warrior. You got to be willing to plant the seed. You got to be willing to water it. You got to be willing to battle the pests and the droughts. And all those things, God will help you with it. But then you got to be able to stand when you're at your weakest. He has walked that field. You know, he walked that field 100, 200 times, praying to God, let it come up. Let it come up. My family depends on it. We need to be able to sell half of these. We need to be able to eat half of these. And he has called you to be a warrior, a mighty man, a woman of God, who will look down the face of the Philistines and say, I will not back up. I will not go down. I will not sit around and let you just steal from me and my family. We look at John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. This morning, every single person you're going to go, if you're not going through something now, sometime in the future you're about to go through something. You're going to be sitting where God has blessed you. You're gonna see your blessing coming through. You'll be walking through your fields, and suddenly you're going to see something trying to steal it from you. And you got to be willing to stand and say, no, I am a child of God. I am because he is. This morning, I don't have really much formal for a formal altar call or anything. But I think I'm going to open up the altars to you. And if you feel like you're going through something, you are having trouble, you are standing in your field, but you feel like you can't go on anymore, let us help stand with you. Just as Moses sat on the rock and Aaron and Hur held up his hands, let us help hold up your hands this morning. So Joe, if you will play something, and we will open up these altars to you.